The 48th plenary meeting of the General Assembly is called to order. The General Assembly will continue its consideration in a joint debate of Agenda Item 29, Report of the Security Council, and Agenda Item 123, Question of Equitable Representation on and Increase in the Membership of the Security Council and Related Matters. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Botswana.
Thank you, Excellency, and good morning to all of you. Let me, at the outset, thank you for convening this important debate. I also wish to thank the Chair of the Intergovernmental Negotiations, Ambassador Tanin, for continuing to consult us and engage us as we search for a solution to this long-pending question. Mr. President, it is now over 5 years since the General Assembly Decision 62/557 of 15 September 2008 was adopted, which was aimed at launching this intergovernmental process. We are concerned about the slow pace of negotiations. My delegation wishes to stress the high importance we attach to the question of equitable representation on and the increase in the membership of the Security Council. We believe that this is an imperative whose time has come. We therefore welcome the resumption of these negotiations and urge the chair of this process, Ambassador Tanin, to garner all the necessary strength and resilience to drive the process to its logical conclusion. My delegation pledges its utmost support to engage in constructive and open dialogue. Mr. President, the Security Council remains the most important organ of the United Nations, whose primary mandate is maintenance of international peace and security. However, it is regrettable that ever since its formation in 1945, it still lacks both geographic and democratic representation of the UN membership. It therefore defies human logic that Africa still remains the only unrepresented constituency in such a body whose legitimacy and strength must derive from the totality of its membership. While all regions of the world are represented and have a footprint in the Council, Africa still is relegated to the backbench with no voice, no power, and no presence to influence key decisions of this powerful institution. This delegation believes that it is now time to reform the character, shape, and working methods of the Council in order to bring them in line with the realities of contemporary international relations. It is for this reason that we remain committed to the intergovernmental negotiations aimed at addressing the historical imbalances of the Council, as well as bringing about improvements in its decision-making and working methods. In line with both Africa's position as well as that of the non-aligned movement, this delegation holds the view that the reform of the Council should be comprehensive, transparent, and inclusive. While stressing the importance and primacy of the UN Charter, we reiterate our long-held position that the envisaged reform of the Council should result in a more effective and efficient body. In this context, it is our hope that an expectation that the reform process should embrace the following elements: categories of membership, regional representation, size of an enlarged Council, working methods, and of course the veto question. While welcoming the resumption of these intergovernmental negotiations, we wish to caution member states that it is very important to remain open-minded and flexible in our debate. There is no wisdom in sticking to known positions. Negotiations are by nature a give and take process. We need to compromise. My delegation aligns itself with the statement that will be made or was made by Egypt on behalf of NAM, as well as to reiterate Africa's position as contained in the Ezulwini consensus. The African position is loud and clear. It is inspired by the desire to see the continent take its rightful place among the community of nations in making key global decisions. This position proposes the expansion of the Council in both the permanent and non-permanent categories. Furthermore, the African position views the question of veto as divisive, exclusive, and subject to abuse by the veto-wielding powers. Africa therefore wishes to see a review of the veto power with a view to abolishing it. If it is not abolished, then a reformed Council, which must include Africa, must extend the veto power to the new permanent members without exception. We therefore have every confidence that as we resume these negotiations, we shall take into consideration all proposals brought forward by various groups and find areas of convergence and build on the consensus on them. After all, we are all here not to dismember or render ineffective this our most cherished body. We are here to enrich it, find common ground, and address the limitations that are already apparent with the Council, with a view to strengthening it. We trust that a solution shall be found to propel this Council to greater heights as we continue to serve mankind for future generations. I thank you.
I thank the distinguished Deputy Permanent Representative of Botswana, and I have the pleasure to give now the floor to His Excellency Ambassador Eugène Richard Gasana, the Permanent Representative of Rwanda.
Madam Chair, at the outset, let me thank you for convening the UNGA 46th plenary, and most especially for the items on the agenda: the report of the Security Council to the UNGA, the question of equitable representation and increasing the membership of the Security Council, and related matters. Thank you for allowing me to present the position of my country on the subject matter. On the report, Madam Chair of the Security Council to the GA, I thank my colleague and current president of the Security Council, Ambassador Liu Jiayi, for his presentation of the report and the US delegation for their hard work in the preparation of the report. The report of the Security Council to the GA is a good mechanism for transparency and accountability of the Council. Rwanda will continue to support any and all initiatives aimed at opening up the Security Council to the participation of the UN General Membership, especially the participation of those directly concerned by the Security Council decisions. On the general discussion on the Security Council reform, allow me to first commend you for your leadership and demonstrated effort to move forward on this debate aiming of reforming the Security Council, as demonstrated by your decision to set up an advisory group, which would provide inputs to help kickstart the process of text-based negotiations. This initiative is a clear demonstration of your strong commitment to make substantive progress in this process. The Security Council reform process is aimed at better reflecting contemporary realities and achieving a more accountable, representative, and transparent Security Council, mindful of all regional groups, emerging powers, as well as small islands, landlocked, and developing countries. Madam Chair, we also welcome your decision to reappoint His Excellency Ambassador Zahir Tanin, Permanent Rep of Afghanistan, as Chair of the IGN. This move does not only answer the plea of several member states who advocated for his reinstatement during the informal meeting of the Intergovernmental Negotiation on Security Council Reform last June, but it will also ensure consistency with the previous deliberations while allowing this debate to make headway. Madam Chair, Rwanda aligns itself with the statement delivered by His Excellency Vandi Chidi Mina, permanent rep of Sierra Leone to the UN on behalf of the Group of Africa. I commend his efforts as coordinator of the AU Committee of 10, or the so-called C10, to promote the Isulwani consensus and for terrorists engaging all UN member states and interest groups to achieve this African common position. Rwanda, as a member of L69 group, further aligns itself with the statement delivered by His Excellency Delano Frank Bart, permanent rep of St. Kitts and Nevis to the UN on behalf of the L69, a diverse group of developing countries united to achieve a lasting and comprehensive reform of the Security Council. We are encouraged by the rapprochement of the African group and the L69 on the Security Council reform, which I believe will help us achieving a comprehensive reform, which shall include the expansion of the Security Council membership in both categories, permanent and non-permanent, with the same rights and obligations as the current members, particularly with regard to the veto right, as long as it exists. Madam Chair, it has demonstrated that an overwhelming majority of the UN wishes a comprehensive reform of the Security Council. This reform shall uphold the principles of fairness and equitable geographical representation, particularly in favor of Africa, a continent which is yet to be represented in the permanent category of the Security Council, while providing more than a quarter of the UN membership and occupying more than 70% of its agenda. Rwanda also strongly supports the improvement of the working groups methods of the Security Council, and we commend the work done by Ambassador Maria Cristina Percival of Argentina as chair of the informal working group on documentation and other procedural questions. We also support the dedication of the ACT group, accountability, coherence, and transparency for the improvement of the working methods of the Security Council, which was defended with courage and resolve by the S5 group. In this regard, we reiterate our firm belief that the responsibility to protect the citizens of this world shall not be held hostage of political interests of permanent members of the Security Council, which has cost us millions of lives, particularly the 1994 genocide perpetrated against the Tutsi in Rwanda. We once again call upon permanent members to refrain from using the veto, especially in the case of genocide, war crimes, and crimes against humanity. Especially, improving working methods also entails improving the Security Council's resolve to fight against impunity, particularly those who committed genocide and other crimes against humanity. It is therefore unfortunate to note that the perpetrators of the genocide in Rwanda, renamed FDLR, are still roaming free in the eastern DRC. This fact is even more deplorable when we know that MONUSCO, a UN force of nearly 20,000 troops and consuming more than $1 billion budget a year, has done nothing for the past 13 years to combat them, not to mention the Security Council, which has never, ever held accountable the UN mission it has established. Madam Chair, the intergovernmental negotiations of the Security Council reform have been going far too long. Some even wonder if it will be achieved in our lifetime. However, I would appeal to all of us to show the sense of responsibility and ensure that we have a concrete outcome by the year 2015, which will be a double anniversary, 70th anniversary of the United Nations and the 10th anniversary of the 2005 World Summit, by which our heads of state and government mandated us to achieve early reforms of the Security Council. To conclude, Madam Chair, Rwanda is confident that under your leadership, the Security Council reform will soon move from debating procedural questions to engaging in text-based negotiations. We will continue to render our support to your effort in quest of a common position that will bring a fair and equitable outcome to the pressing issues surrounding this debate. And it is our firm hope that during your tenure at the presidency of the General Assembly, account taken on your dedication to reforming this process, this noble landmark, be credited to all of you as your legacy to the posterity. I thank you, Madam Chair.
I thank the distinguished permanent representative of Rwanda, and I now give the floor to His Excellency Ambassador Vladimir Drobnjak, permanent representative of the Republic of Croatia.
Madam Vice President, I would like to firstly thank President of General Assembly for convening this important debate ahead of the new cycle of intergovernmental negotiations on the Security Council reform. I also commend his decision to reappoint Ambassador Tanin of Afghanistan as the chair of the intergovernmental negotiations, and I would like to thank the President of General Assembly and Ambassador Tanin for their leadership in the process. In Croatia's view, the present structure and functioning of the Council does not properly reflect neither the geopolitical reality of today's world nor the structure of the UN membership in the 21st century. Therefore, in order to maintain the Council's authority, relevance, and indispensability in maintaining global peace and security, its reform must not be postponed any further, and it needs to be comprehensive. Croatia has served on the Security Council in 2008-2009, and this valuable opportunity has given us a deeper insight of both its strengths and shortcomings. Therefore, we are of the view that the enlargement of the Council is deeply connected with the reform of its working methods. It is Croatia's position that any enlargement of this crucial body should happen in both the permanent and non-permanent categories of membership, with one additional seat to be reserved for the group of Eastern European states in the non-permanent category. Such a reform would then properly reflect the reality of contemporary international relations and ensure appropriate and balanced representation of various parts of the world in the Council. Furthermore, although we welcome the greater transparency in the Council's work achieved so far, we find there is still room for improvement in this regard. Madam Chair, we believe that the group of Eastern European states deserves equal treatment as other four regional groups. I will not use the composition of the PGA's advisory group as an example of that, but I must emphasize that Eastern European group is entitled to equal recognition and respect. Additional seat for the Eastern European group in enlarged Security Council is very important, but not the only step along this road. In Croatia's view, one of the key issues of the reform of the Security Council includes questions rising over the veto power, as its use should be responsible and above limited. By this, we mean the limitations of its use in the cases of genocide or gross human rights violations. Furthermore, Croatia strongly supports the intensifying of efforts in order to translate the decisions set in the 2005 World Summit outcome document and its aftermath into concrete results. After so many years of debate and after so many meetings and speeches, it is challenging to come up with something entirely new. Although we have accumulated a lot of different proposals, it is political will and unity that is now of main importance. Nevertheless, we must strive to be innovative. What we need is to identify common denominators, the stronger involvement and interaction between and among major groups in this process. Madam Chair, a number of achievements in the wider UN reform have already been made since 2005 World Summit. That reform has already given birth inter alia to the Human Rights Council, Peacebuilding Commission, UN Women, and most recently to the High-Level Political Forum on Sustainable Development. The obvious shortfall in this regard still remains the Security Council reform. In 2015, the UN will celebrate its 17th anniversary. It took only 18 years since the foundation of the United Nations to pass the General Assembly resolution on the Security Council enlargement. In 2015, we shall mark the 50th anniversary of the beginning of the work of 15 Member States Council. To say that this reform is overdue would be more than stating the obvious. Having said all that, let me reiterate Croatia's full support to the forthcoming intergovernmental process and our confidence that it will bring us closer to our common goal of the reformed and improved Security Council. Thank you.
I thank the distinguished permanent representative of the Republic of Croatia, and I now give the floor to His Excellency Ambassador Virgilio Alcantara, permanent representative of the Dominican Republic.
Señora Presidenta.
Madam President, allow me to convey my appreciation to the Ambassador and Permanent Representative of China and President of the Security Council during the month of November for the presentation of the comprehensive report of the Security Council pursuant to Article 24, Paragraph 3 of the UN Charter. The Security Council has the mandate of submitting to the consideration of the Member States their reports before the General Assembly. The document that we have before us covers a rather difficult period. Undoubtedly, this tested the capacity of the Security Council to preserve international peace and security. Madam President, despite the efforts deployed by Council members, this report continues to suffer from an analytic perspective of the work undertaken by the body, its public open meetings, and its informal consultations. We recognize, however, the progress made by the Council members to optimize the transparency of their work. We also recognize the improvement in the working methods, which assists member states in their efforts to participate more actively in the questions and concerns of common interest that are on the Council agenda. Addressing the matter of the working methods brings us to refer to a point of particular importance for the Dominican Republic, to wit, the reform of the Security Council. We hail the interest of the PGA to keep this topic among the highest priorities in its program of action. The Dominican Republic hopes that this process will continue to make progress in an inclusive, open, and transparent manner, with the goal of the member states being able to bring decisive impact in the democratization of the Security Council. We support the idea of 2015 serving as a horizon for setting the guidelines necessary for the so long yearned for reform of the Security Council. We hope then that the IGN can continue toward the reform of the Security Council. We hope that a document can be cemented to serve as a support instrument for negotiations aimed at bringing greater legitimacy and credibility to the work of the Council. We hail the appointment of Ambassador Sahir Tanin, the permanent representative of Afghanistan, at the helm of the IGN, and the selection of the group of advisory ambassadors for Security Council reform. We trust in the leadership and skill of the members of this group to reach such important decisions in this crucial stage. The Dominican Republic has always advocated for a council enlargement that puts particular interest, or rather emphasis, on an opening to greater opportunities for developing countries, which would ensure that more field is offered in a balanced manner to these countries. Hence, we support the statement made by the heads of state and government of CARICOM on February of 2013. Through this, there is a call for there to be given greater urgency for a lasting reform of the Security Council. We support the initiative to give new momentum to this intergovernmental negotiation process. Madam President, the current structure of council membership is clearly imbalanced. It does not reflect the true current geopolitical situation. We appeal to the political will and commitment of the member states of the United Nations to correct this with firm determination, that is to say, to correct this unjustified situation. It is time to put an end to the imbalance that has maintained some regions by the wayside in council representation. It is only thus that we think that the council will be able to respond better and with greater efficacy to the growing problems and challenges that arise in international relations. I should not like to fail to seize this opportunity to commend the new members of the Security Council for their recent election. We hope that this will contribute positively to the work of the Security Council in the maintenance of international peace and security. Thank you very much, Madam President.
I thank the distinguished permanent representative of the Dominican Republic, and I give now the floor to the deputy permanent representative of Malta.
Madam Chair, my delegation expresses our appreciation for the President of the General Assembly's resolve to make the reform of the Security Council a priority for his mandate. I also join other delegations in thanking the Permanent Representative of China for presenting the annual report of the Security Council on behalf of the Council. Madam Chair, Malta fully associates itself with the statement made by Italy on behalf of Uniting for Consensus. Mr. President, with reference to the recent decision of creating an advisory group to the PGA on the Security Council reform process, the UFC members have already conveyed their assessment in the letter dated 31st October. We thank you for Wednesday's meeting with UFC members. Your clarifications were encouraging, especially when you informed us that the advisory group would have only a consultative purpose and would not have a negotiating role or a mandate to draft or streamline any negotiating document or resolution, and that the advisory group will not bypass the intergovernmental negotiations. We appreciate that in your opening remarks yesterday, you have restated these points very clearly and augur that this will lead to an end of any misinterpretations of the advisory group's mandate. Mr. President, considering the slow progress achieved during the 67th session of the General Assembly, it is appropriate that we look forward to identifying common ground, as you stated in your letter dated 6 November. In our collective thoughts and actions, we need to define the areas of convergence according to the principles agreed to by consensus in Decision 62557 of 15 September 2008. Malta remains of the firm view that the five key issues agreed are interlinked. In maintaining these five key issues as one component, we would ensure that a reform of the UN Security Council would be conducted in a coherent and cohesive manner. In turn, this would safeguard the interests of all member states and provide a reformed Security Council with the much-needed ownership of the broader membership. Mr. President, as you rightly stated in your letter, this common ground is reached only through a process of negotiations of give and take. Malta understands that uniting for consensus alone have shown flexibility to date and come forward with an updated constructive proposal in 2009 that is comparatively the most beneficial for the wider UN membership. We invite other groups to reciprocate in this exercise of give and take. Mr. President, the intergovernmental negotiations over the last years have clearly shown that there is at least agreement on two issues among all UN member states, and these could provide a common ground to advancing our consideration of the question of the Security Council reform. The two issues are, first, that there should be an increase in the non-permanent member category, and second, that the historical injustice regarding Africa's representation should be remedied. Madam Chair, all UN member states agree on the need to reform of the UN Security Council in order for it to better reflect the world in the 21st century. Member states, especially small and medium-sized states, continue to search for ways in which to reform the Security Council to make it more representative, more democratic, more efficient and effective, more accountable, and more transparent in order to better address the challenges of our time as we approach the 70th anniversary of the United Nations. Security Council membership has to be more reflective of present-day realities and therefore, like many others, Malta strongly believes that the Council membership should be increased. I would like to recall that since the last Security Council enlargement in 1965, 76 countries have joined our organization as new member states. Therefore, it is logical that one of the key issues that need to be resolved is the question of enlargement of the reformed Security Council to take into account the larger membership of 193 states. The position of small and medium-sized states in an expanded UN Security Council should figure prominently in our discussions. Malta notes that only the Uniting for Consensus proposal has specific non-permanent seats for both small and medium-sized states. It is also statistically the most advantageous proposal for over 180 UN member states, including all, and I repeat, all small and all medium-sized states. The fact is not only stated by UFC, but has been published by the Independent Platform for Change civil society organization that aims to educate and inform the diplomatic community and civil society on the important issues and events surrounding UN Security Council reform. Madam Chair, my delegation appreciates the role which you and your predecessors have played in trying to bring the views of different delegations closer together, and in so doing, to define and agree on an approach which would do justice to all UN member states. Thank you.
I thank the distinguished Deputy Permanent Representative of Malta, and I now give the floor to the distinguished Chargé d'Affaires of Kazakhstan.
Madam Chair, at the outset, my delegation wishes to thank you for convening this important and most timely meeting. We also congratulate His Excellency Dr. Zahir Tanin, Permanent Representative of Afghanistan, for his reappointment as Chair of the Intergovernmental Negotiations on Security Council Reform and for his leadership in guiding its complex deliberations. Kazakhstan recognizes that the geographical imbalance of the Security Council and limitations in its operations still continue to exist. Kazakhstan, therefore, reiterates its commitment to reforms of the United Nations and primarily the Council on both these fronts. With a view to enhance regional representation, my delegation reconfirms its position on increasing the Council's membership from the existing number of 15 to 25 by establishing 6 permanent and 4 non-permanent Security Council member seats. To move the negotiations forward demands a new understanding to bridge the divergence between the vast majority of member states. We need to bridge the positions of all the groups concerned, and therefore, Kazakhstan calls for a spirit of compromise and inclusiveness in order to gain the widest possible consensus. We would like to submit the following recommendations for your consideration. The proposals of the last intergovernmental negotiations should be carefully reviewed regarding the particular veto right. with all its implications so that viable solution can be found. We believe that the change in the working methods does not require an amendment of the Charter of the United Nations or a two-thirds majority to be adopted. Kazakhstan sees that any improvement in the working methods will not limit the power of the Council or subordinate it to the General Assembly, but rather will strengthen the Security Council to make it more efficient. It is critical to have on the table all the proposals by Member States for the purpose of greater transparency, accountability, and fairer participation. Increased access to information through open briefings, thematic debates, and consultations with non-member states of the Security Council. The involvement of troop contributing countries in its decision-making processes on peacekeeping operations, and the easy availability of provisional agendas, draft resolutions, and presidential statements. It is equally imperative to strengthen the cooperation mechanism between the Security Council and the General Assembly, since the latter represents the interests of all member states. In particular, the most crucial unresolved disputes in the Council could be discussed in the General Assembly to ascertain the positions of the majority of member states on vital issues, so as to make possible a more informed adoption of the Security Council resolutions. We welcome the measures to increase the number of open sessions of the Security Council and the reduction of closed sessions to ensure greater transparency. This is particularly important for those countries when the Council deliberates the cases of their immediate neighboring countries or those in the region, because of the relevant inputs that can be made and to assess the interrelated impact and consequences. The Security Council non-member states need to know firsthand and objectively the decision and positions of the Security Council members, and not through the lens of the mass media with its distortions. We also welcome creation of the advisory group to the PGA and believe that it will serve the whole negotiating process, providing a balanced approach, including all positions and concerns expressed by groups and member states. To conclude, I once again reiterate Kazakhstan's commitment to engage in the intergovernmental negotiations and work in a spirit of compromise and cooperation for finalizing speedily the reform of the Security Council. The reform process cannot wait very long, much longer, in light of the new emerging global geopolitical realities and socio-economic developments. I thank you for your attention.
I thank the distinguished chargé d'affaires of Kazakhstan, of the Permanent Mission of Kazakhstan, and I now give the floor to His Excellency Ambassador Anatolio Ndongba, the Permanent Representative of the Republic of the Equatorial Guinea.
Señora Presidenta.
Madam President. Excellencies, representatives, ladies and gentlemen, since this is the first time that I have the high honor of addressing the plenary of the 68th session of the General Assembly on an issue of such key importance to all of us, as is the issue of equitable representation on and increasing the membership of Security Council and related matters, allow me, Madam President, to warmly congratulate you on your brilliant election as President of this session of the General Assembly. We'd also like to express our high appreciation of the clear way in which you are guiding the debates of this session. And more specifically, we'd like to express that our delegation fully supports you in this, and we're also very pleased at this initiative you've taken to convene this meeting that brings us together, and the impetus you have given to the debate on this theme. And Ambassador Tahin receives our full confidence as he leads the negotiation process at the intergovernmental level for Security Council reform.
We also would like to express our full support to the coordinator of the panel, whose role is not is to take decisions, which this will be undertaken during the intergovernmental committee's work, but, as it says, it will be a body which does not provide any binding recommendations, but is one of advising us. The ambassador of the Popular Republic of China, we'd like to thank him for the report he submitted to us as we relaunch the debates on this issue. Madam President, it's been 78 years since this new organization, the United Nations, was set up on the 24th of October, 1945, following the horrendous impact of the Second World War. 34 years later, during the 30th session of the General Assembly on the initiative of Algeria, Maldives, Nepal, Sri Lanka, and many other countries, the issue of equitable representation of the Security Council and increase in membership was raised, and a debate was launched, and this was discussed in the 40th session in 1992. When Resolution 4762 was adopted, and pursuant to that, the Secretary-General published a report which has been commented on by other member states. So the United Nations is 78 years old, and for 34 years we've been having this debate on the necessary reform of the Security Council. If these 68 years are very important in the age of an individual, they're even more important, these 68 years, in the history of an organization, which is a noble forum of debate on all rights. Human rights, the right to food, the rights of women, the rights of the child, the right to self-determination of peoples, etc., etc. So it's not fair, and the time has come for us to adopt, and that we should recognize the rights of countries in all regions to have a due rightful representation in this body of the United Nations. The African continent has 54 members of the United Nations. It has more member states than any other region. And more than 70% of the issues discussed in the Security Council concern it. Therefore, it has the right to have representations in the Security Council with a right to vote and to the veto and to take part in discussions on issues affecting it. So, as was expressed by the President of South Africa, Mr. Zuma, in his statement to the plenary of the General Assembly last September, in which he said, and I quote, "I will challenge the United Nations to celebrate the 70th anniversary of the Security Council, which is democratic. That's my challenge," end of quote. That is 2 years from now. So this is the objective which should guide this new negotiations process at the intergovernmental level, which will start to ensure the United Nations is adapted to the challenges for an international body which should be very different from what it has been in the first 70 years. It's a very different world from that in which the United Nations was set up. It's a world which is not so much of wars, but of technological change. And within the United Nations, we should recognize democracy, transparency, good governance. These realities should shape the United Nations bodies as a whole, and in particular in the Security Council. Madam Chair, as we are approaching the end of 2013, this international organization, the United Nations, and through its General Assembly, has some promising horizons during the during the next 2 years, and including in 2015, will also be the year for the reform of the Security Council, and that is when the United Nations will reach 70 years of age. As His Excellency, the President of Equatorial Guinea, said during his statement to the 68th session of the General Assembly, and I quote, "Let's be sincere to ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, so that the system that is just and fair and democracy should reign within the organs of the United Nations. This is the epicenter of the international community, which aspires to peace, to good order, and to development." End of quote. Madam President, I'm participating in this debate as the permanent representative of Equatorial Guinea, which is member of the Committee of Ten. And I align myself with the statement made by the distinguished permanent representative of Sierra Leone, Vandi Chirimina, as coordinator of the Committee of Ten, and also to the statement made by His Excellency, the Ambassador of Egypt, Mr. Halil, on behalf of the non-aligned movement. In this regard, we reassert the claim made by the African continent to be fully and broadly representative in all decision-making bodies of the United Nations, particularly in the Security Council, which is the main decision-making body regarding issues of international peace and security. This total and full representation which the African continent requires should consist of two seats, permanent seats, with all the prerogatives that lie with it, and also,
estarán de acuerdo conmigo,
as well as non-permanent seats. I'm convinced that it is inconceivable and unjustifiable that a continent such as Africa, which has more than 1 billion people and the largest number of UN member states and the most number of issues dealt with the Security Council, so far does not have a single permanent seat in the Security Council. In this regard, we should consider that the way the way the Security Council is configured is an anomaly in this world, particularly since the United Nations should be a model in this regard. I'd like to close by asserting that the position of my country is that of an African country. We reject any transitional process in the negotiations. The main requirement of such an approach would go against the interests of Equatorial Guinea and the Statement of the Seven. This was decided at the Kampala summit in 2010 and at the Addis Ababa summit in 2011. And this was reasserted again in July 2011 and has been supported in later summits. Therefore, the Republic of Equatorial Guinea is fully confident in Ambassador Zahid Tahin to conduct the process of reform of the Security Council, and also I have confident all Africa's friends and allies in other regions, continents, to support us in order to ensure that this African demand can become a reality, a tangible reality. My country and government consider that in general terms, all states, regions and groups of countries and interests are called upon to bring their positions closer together in this reform process to ensure that there's equitable, objective and impartial representation on the Security Council and within the United Nations system. This is our desire. It's the desire for a restructuring of the Security Council in particular and of the United Nations system in general, which should take account of the interest of all states and geographical regions that make up the international community in a broader way. This requires that all states should continue to move forward and overcome the obstacles that do not allow us to ensure a real reform of the Security Council to make it more representative. Therefore, we wish every success to them in this new negotiations process. Thank you very much.
I thank the distinguished permanent representative of the Republic of the Equatorial Guinea, and now I give the floor to His Excellency Ambassador Andrei Logar, the permanent representative of Slovenia.
Madam Chair, I would like to thank the President of General Assembly for convening this important meeting today. Slovenia believes that it would be more efficient if General Assembly holds two separate debates, one on the Security Council report and the other on the question of equitable representation on an increase in the membership of the Security Council and related matters, since both topics need to be thoroughly discussed. We believe that the content of the report is of high importance for all of us. Therefore, I would like to examine it in depth before discussing it further. Nevertheless, I would like to thank the permanent representative of China for presenting to the General Assembly the report of the Security Council covering period from August 2012 to July 2013. Madam Chair, Slovenia welcomes the initiative taken by the President of General Assembly, Ambassador John Ash, to reconvene the intergovernmental negotiations on Security Council reform early in the session of the General Assembly. We would like to congratulate Ambassador Tanin, permanent representative of Afghanistan, for his reappointment as chair of the intergovernmental negotiations. We sincerely hope that this round of negotiations will lead to tangible results and successful outcome. We also respect the decision on the establishment of the advisory group of eminent ambassadors, which is having an important task ahead to produce the basis for the intergovernmental negotiations while taking on board all the suggestions made so far. We see it as a momentum to take forward the process of negotiations on the question of equitable representation and increase in the membership of the Security Council, which is long overdue. In our opinion, it's important to make clear distinction between the debate on enlargement of the Council and the improvement of the working methods in its current composition. We expect that after last week's open debate on the working methods, the Council will be able to build on the number of proposals made by a large number of the UN member states. Slovenia, as a member of ACT, will contribute with further ideas on how to enhance accountability, coherence, and transparency of the Security Council. We regret the discussion on the question of the equitable representation on and increase in the membership of the Security Council and related matters has been lagging behind. We believe that enlargement of the Council will contribute to its effectiveness, improve its representation, and provide fresh perspective to the table. It is apparent that the expansion of the Security Council in various types of both permanent and non-permanent membership has gained broad support among the UN member states. Slovenia remains convinced that the Council should be expanded in both categories of members. Slovenia suggested specific model of the Security Council expansion during the general debate at the 63rd session of the General Assembly. We believe that this and other specific proposals made in the past need to be approached head-on and will be taken into account by the advisory group. Madam Chair, Slovenia sees the determination and commitment of the President of General Assembly as an opportunity to come to meaningful conclusions which should be implemented in the light of the upcoming UN anniversary in 2015. Prolonged debates have shown discontent of many member states, and it is high time to address the issue in a proper and concrete way which will adapt the Security Council to new challenges and reflect realities of the 21st century. I can assure you that Slovenia will play a constructive role in the process of intergovernmental negotiations. I thank you, Madam Chair.
I thank the distinguished permanent representative of Slovenia, and I now give the floor to His Excellency Ambassador Murad Ben Mehidi, the permanent representative of Algeria.
Thank you, Madam President. I am pleased to see you chairing this session. If it was to Algeria, we would have wished that Security Council reform be achieved under your presidency today, no later than today. I would like to thank you for convening this joint debate on Agenda Item 29, Report of the Security Council, linked with Agenda Item 123, Question of Equitable Representation and Increasing the Membership of the Security Council, and so on. It is important that we look at the way the Security Council is working in order to correct what needs to be corrected. So we welcome this link. In this regard, I would like to thank His Excellency Ambassador Yi Yuliu, Permanent Representative of China and President of the Security Council for the month, for introducing the report of the Security Council covering the activities of the Council from 1st August 2012 to 31st July 2013. And on the other agenda item, allow me to congratulate Ambassador Zahir Tanin on his reappointment as chair of the intergovernmental negotiation process and to reiterate the commitment of Algeria to work with him in order to ensure a speedy and comprehensive reform of the Security Council. Madam President, at the outset, Algeria aligns itself with the statement made by Sierra Leone on behalf of the African group. At a time of profound changes in the international landscape, the reform of the Security Council becomes more urgent. Why? For instance, in the document A/68/2 concerning the reporting period of the Security Council, one can notice that there is very few elements that allow the members of the General Assembly to have a sense of the kind of debate that are taking place concerning the various agenda items. I have in mind one particular agenda item that I happen to follow closely, the question of Western Sahara. During the debate taking place in April 2013, within the reporting period, what you read in the report doesn't reflect what actually did happen in reality. It was a very tense debate. It was a diplomatic crisis looming between important members of the Security Council and one party to the conflict of Western Sahara, but all this did occur in the informals before the item is actually taken in the formal meetings. So no mention has been made about the attempt of responsible members of the Security Council to propose the extension of the mandate of the MINURSO to the monitoring of the human rights in the territory of Western Sahara, because it happened outside the working of the Council. And members of the Council are right to report only what happened in the chamber of the Council. But since everything is happening outside in the corridor, in the small group of friends and consultations among outside the formal meetings, they have the right not to report to us. But we miss the point. We don't know what happened. I know this question. I don't know another one. And in the future, the records we are transmitting to future generation will not allow them to know what happened on various issues. This is why more transparency is of essence, Madam President, and this is why we are insisting that we achieve a speedy and timely reform of the Security Council. Another issue. The member states might have noticed that since the reopening of the building of the Secretariat building and the Security Council building since the renovation within the framework of the Capital Master Plan, there are some changes introduced to the way the Security Council interacts with the member states. We, the 178, I believe, delegations that are not members of the Security Council, are no longer allowed to approach the Security Council consultation room. And actually, there is a prohibition, a red sign that this is a private zone. You can't reach the German lounge that Germany generously equipped a long time ago to allow for the delegations to sit there and to interact with the members of the Security Council, the elected members representing the membership, to be informed about the proceeding of the work of the Security Council. Now, we are not allowed to get while they are. I would like to mention that even the consultation room is an informal setting according to the Charter. The Charter has established that the Council meets in the Council Chamber and that we are entitled to attend the deliberation of the Council on any question related to the maintenance of international peace and security. In order to prepare for the debate, the members of the Council happen to meet outside the chamber to have a coffee or not, in a corridor to prepare, exchange views before the meeting. And it became a consultation room, but it has no status whatsoever. And we are entitled to cut the funding of the informal consultations of the Security Council on the basis that it is not in conformity with the Charter. Let alone, we are not even allowed to approach the antechamber of the consultation room. I rely on the wisdom of the permanent members to help the general membership to improve, in order to improve the relation with the Council work. As for other innovation introduced, I congratulate the Secretary General for having occupied the former office of the President of the Security Council. And I understand now the President of the Council has been assigned a smaller office in the back. And I compassionate with the elected member who in fact, are those who lose the opportunity to provide some visibility to their short period of presidency of the Council. But this is for the current elected members and future elected members to address this issue. Another aspect of the work of the Security Council, there is a principle that those who have a stake at any agenda item participate in the debate or interact with the Council. In the case of Western Sahara, the representative of Polisario has been denied during the last consultation that took place on the 30th of November access to the vicinity of the Security Council. As we all know, there is new rules, but in addition to that, he was further excluded from the area. And it has been a tradition that those identified as the parties of a conflict by the Council, namely in this case the Kingdom of Morocco and the Frente Polisario, make their case to the members of the Council and to the international opinion, to the membership, to the opinion, through the stakeout. He has been denied speaking at the stakeout. necessary claim has been filed with those responsible, and I here also I am confident that the wisdom of the permanent members of the Security Council, who with no doubt are concerned by the good relations with the users of the Council, will allow for a speedy correction of this course. This was on agenda item 23, Madam President. As for the report, it's up to us. Are we to continue with this situation if we are satisfied, or are we to increase our efforts? Algeria supports the intention of the president of the 68th session to increase efforts in order to speed up the process. We support him, and we supported him within the framework of the African Group for the establishment of the advisory group. We caution against encroaching upon the prerogatives of the membership. The president has the right to establish a group of friends, to receive advices, and to make proposals to the membership. Let us avoid making of this advisory group a group that is tasked with drafting without being sufficiently representative of all the positions in the debate. But the president has the right to listen to them and to make proposal to us, and we encourage him to do so. And we encourage all those who have complained that the Security Council reform has taken too long to think about the real causes. Actually, I didn't want to get to this point. I don't see the distinguished permanent representatives of Germany, Brazil, India, and Japan in the room. I will make my proposal to them on the 15th of November within the framework of the IGN, because I don't want to repeat myself twice. Thank you, Madam. And I would like to to convey our encouragement to Ambassador Tanin to address the status of compilation Rev 3 of the compilation. We all complained about the incursion of Ambassador Tanin in our prerogatives, trying to interpret our position. Let's go back to Rev 2. We take it from there, and we are ready to help Ambassador Tanin, who is an asset. He has the institutional memory, and he knows where we can meet. We are ready to work with him no longer than the mid of November. Thank you, Madam President.
I thank the distinguished permanent representative of Algeria, and I now give the floor to His Excellency Ambassador José Antonio dos Santos, the permanent representative of Paraguay.
Madam President, at the outset, I'd like to take this opportunity to congratulate you on the initiative you've taken to convene speedily the beginning of the talks on this issue. I'd also like to express Paraguay's thanks to His Excellency Ambassador Zahir Tanan, the permanent representative of Algeria, for the important role he has played as the chair of the previous round of intergovernmental negotiations. We'd like to wish him express in the new round, which will begin during this session of the General Assembly. Also, we'd like to thank the permanent representative of China for presenting the annual report on the Security Council. Madam President, the government of Paraguay maintains that increasing the membership of the Security Council is necessary to enhance and modernize the organization in order to make it more effective and equitable. in line with the mandate of the 2005 summit. This process, which has been undertaken in the format of the intergovernmental negotiations, should be accompanied by the reform of the working methods. Insofar as the Security Council should become more democratic, representative, transparent, and efficient, its decisions will assume greater legitimacy. As the United Nations Charter says, the main function of the Security Council is to maintain international peace and security. The growing expansion of the mandate of the Council to other themes, which should be discussed in other areas, underlines the authority of the General Assembly as well as other organs of the organizations. And this is a source of concern. Over recent years, my country has been following with growing interest the intergovernmental negotiations on the question of equitable representation and increase in the membership of the Security Council. In this regard, we are convinced that the Security Council must consider having geographical distribution and equilibrium in the geographical distribution of its members according to Article 23 of the United Nations Charter on the Sovereign Equality of States. With regard to veto, Paraguay supports the elimination of the veto. Also, we consider that we need to have effective coordination and communication between the Security Council and the General Assembly, which is the most representative and democratic organ in the system. Therefore, we believe it's necessary that we should systematize the meetings between the President of the General Assembly and the President of the Security Council, which will contribute to enhancing the transparency. In closing, we are confident that the Security Council will eventually adapt itself to the new century that we are now living so that it become more representative, it's become more effective, have greater legitimacy, and that it implements its decisions. Thank you very much.
I thank the distinguished permanent representative of Paraguay, and I now give the floor to the distinguished permanent representative of Peru, Ambassador Gustavo Adolf Mesacuadra Velasquez.
Señora Presidente.
Madam President, my delegation welcomes the convening of this meeting of the General Assembly to continue discussing one of the core issues related to the reform of the organization, the issue of equitable representation and the membership of the Security Council and related matters. I'd like to highlight the work undertaken by the Permanent Representative of Afghanistan, Ambassador Zahir Tanin, leading the intergovernmental negotiations in the informal plenary on the issue of equitable representation and membership of the Security Council and related matters. And we'd like to congratulate him as he continues to lead this process during the current session. Madam President, the important substantive discussions that we've undertaken during the new round and the process of negotiations on the reform of the Security Council have shown the great agreement between the membership regarding the absolute need to adapt the structure of our organization so that it adequately reflects the changes that have taken place in the international stage since the last reform was undertaken. In this regard, Peru considers that we need to give new impetus to the negotiations in order to move towards a renewed, reformed, broadened Security Council, which is more democratic and representative, and also more effective and with more transparent working methods. Therefore, Peru believes that it's already time to have an informal process to review the textus so that we reach a negotiation textus with clear alternatives and which enjoys the support and political commitment of the membership. We welcome the work done by the President of the intergovernmental negotiation process. We now need to have a basic negotiation text which ensures the consolidation of the various positions and identifies the positions that we have in order to move towards negotiation and have a tangible outcome which is balanced and representative.
but always under the principle that this must be an inclusive and transparent process to ensure a prompt reform of the Security Council. Peru is interested in the recent setting up of an advisory group responsible for compiling the positions of various negotiation groups and countries taking part in the negotiations. And this should be part of the efforts to relaunch the intergovernmental negotiations on the reform of the Security Council, pursuant to the decision of General Assembly 62557, Madam President. Peru repeats once again its conviction that to ensure the Security Council meets the new realities, it's absolutely essential to include new members, both permanent and non-permanent, to promote a fair and equitable regional representation, and which should change the current status quo. With regard to the issue of the veto, Peru has always supported a position of principle which it has the aim of eliminating the veto. Now, in a constructive spirit, my delegation maintains that the permanent members should adopt a commitment to assess, first of all, a limitation of the use of the veto. This should be pursuant to the rule pursuant to Article 27 of the Charter. Also, we believe it's important to reach a consensus on the possibility of establishing specific limits for the use of the veto, that we should know it should not be applied in terms of genocide, crimes against humanity, and violent flagrant violations of human rights or international humanitarian law. Here we'd like to pay tribute to France's position in this regard. And I'd also like to make an appeal to other permanent members to consider this possibility. It's also important for the Security Council to make a serious assessment of its work, and this should be undertaken to increase its legitimacy and also the effectiveness and efficiency of its work. In this regard, my delegation believes that it's extremely important to make progress to reform the working methods of the Council in a way to make them more transparent and efficient. For this, we believe it's necessary to hold more open meetings, and that we should have meetings to update members on the issues under discussion, and these be of a substantive nature, and that they be done in a timely way. We also believe it's important to build on the process of consultations between the Security Council and TCCs before decisions are taken by the Security Council in this area. And we also should have the process of auto-assessment and review of the implementation of Security Council decisions. Similarly, we pay tribute to the recent initiative to hold review meetings of the work of the Security Council each month, and we believe that this will increase the transparency of the work of the Security Council. Also, we appreciate the practice of holding open debates on issues being dealt with by the Security Council. Nevertheless, this should not be a simple formality. The debate should reflect the opinion of all members of the organisation. Madam President, we should adopt a decision. We would like to reiterating well-known national positions is not what we need. As has been expressed unanimously here, we want to reform the Security Council. It's necessary, therefore, that this be part of specific commitments. I'd like to close by reasserting my country's determination to follow in a constructive way the intergovernmental negotiations and in the informal plenary on the issue of equitable representation and increasing membership of the Security Council and related matters. Thank you very much.
I thank the distinguished permanent representative of Peru, and I give now the floor to His Excellency Ambassador Rodney Charles, permanent representative of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago to the United Nations.
Mr. President, Trinidad and Tobago aligns itself with the statement made by Guyana on behalf of the CARICOM community, by Japan on behalf of the Group of Four, and St. Kitts and Nevis on behalf of the L69 in encouraging inclusive Security Council reform, and takes this opportunity to deliver our remarks on Agenda Item 123, the question of equitable representation and increasing membership of the Security Council and other matters related to the Council. Mr. President, Trinidad and Tobago unequivocally supports expansion in both the permanent and non-permanent member categories of the Security Council. And as such, advocates for the expansion of the rules of developing countries in both categories, and in this context is resolute in the African common position as outlining the Sloveni consensus. Additionally, we support the call for provision of a special rotating seat for small island developing states in a reformed Security Council. And in that context, we call for an increase in the size of the Security Council from the current 15 to approximately 27. With a view to promoting the equality of states, Trinidad and Tobago supports the elimination of the veto. However, in the event of its retention, we consider that all permanent members of an expanded and reformed Security Council must have the same rights and privileges as existing permanent members. Mr. President, in the vein of efficiency, we call for improved working methods of the Council so as to increase the involvement of non-members in its working as appropriate and to enhance the Council's accountability and transparency. Additionally, Trinidad and Tobago supports the position advanced by CARICOM as it relates to the relationship between the Security Council and the General Assembly and encourages the adoption of appropriate measures to enable the General Assembly to function effectively as the chief deliberative policy-making and representative organ of the United Nations. Mr. President, Trinidad and Tobago believes that the need for Security Council reform is evident, as the international community is faced with new and evolving global security challenges, as well as issues of human rights and conscience. With the continuing evolution of the global political climate, the need for a Security Council that more broadly represents the geopolitical realities of the 21st century is increasingly evident. In the outcome document of the 2005 World Summit, international leaders supported an early reform of the Security Council. The pace of this reform, however, must be increased if we are not to be overtaken by new circumstances that repeatedly test the fabric of relationships among member states of the General Assembly. Trinidad and Tobago further reiterates CARICOM's call for greater urgency in achieving lasting Security Council reform, and we extend our continued support for the General Assembly Decision 64/5668 on this matter. We congratulate His Excellency Ambassador Zahi Tanin, the permanent representative of Afghanistan, on his reappointment as chair of the Intergovernmental Negotiations on Security Council Reform, and encourage the progressive spirit that these negotiations espouse. Mr. President, in closing, Trinidad and Tobago would like to express its gratitude to the President of the 67th General Assembly, His Excellency Vuk Jeremic, for his efforts in promoting Security Council reform, and to the President of the 68th General Assembly, His Excellency John Ash, for his efforts to continue the discussion towards a more representative and effective Security Council. It is our hope that tangible outcomes, including a meaningful action plan, will result from these deliberations in the interest of global peace and security. I thank you.
I thank the distinguished permanent representative of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, and I now give the floor to His Excellency Ambassador Nicolas Emiliou, the permanent representative of Cyprus.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Cyprus welcomes this timely debate of the General Assembly on the important matter of the question of equitable representation on and increase in the membership of the Security Council and related matters. As the President of the General Assembly stated in his acceptance speech of June 4th, and I quote, "United Nations reform represents an important element in our overall effort to strengthen the organization, without which the organization runs the risk of becoming inconsequential," end of quote. We welcome the reappointment of Ambassador Tanin as chair of the intergovernmental negotiations and look forward to this session's first meeting in the IGN framework. We also take note of the PGA's decision to form an advisory group, which, as we will understand, provide him with input aimed at reflecting a comprehensive approach to the position and ideas put forward in the negotiations so far, and point out available options charting the road ahead. Madam Chair, Cyprus supports a comprehensive report of the Security Council based on the GA's decision 62/557, which inter alia includes the improvement of the Council's working methods in order to enhance the accountability, legitimacy, and effectiveness of its decisions and actions, as well as to increase the transparency of its work. In addition, we support the expansion and the increase in the membership of the Security Council in both categories, that is, permanent and non-permanent members. We believe that all five key issues identified in the above decisions, namely categories of membership, the question of the veto, regional representation, size of an enlarged council, working methods, and the relationship between the Council and the General Assembly should be addressed and resolved in a package deal through the member-driven process of the intergovernmental negotiations. Only the IGN process, in its inclusive and holistic nature, and its unity of purpose and intention, can bring about a reform that is meaningful, representative, and democratic in its nature. Madam Chair, 2015 will mark the 10-year anniversary of the 2005 World Summit, in which global leaders resolved inter alia on the need for an early reform of the Security Council. Furthermore, it has been almost 5 years since the commencement of the intergovernmental negotiations. In Resolution 62/557, member states resolved, among other things, to negotiate in good faith with mutual respect and in an open, inclusive, and transparent manner, seeking a solution that can garner the widest possible political acceptance by member states. We believe that the time has come to show the necessary political resolve, realism, and commitment to move the process forward and consensually agree on a reform model that will address the concerns and aspirations of all involved. We need to create a fairer and more representative council, able to reflect the 21st century's reality and tackle the 21st century's complex challenges. In order to achieve progress, we need to begin serious and committed text-based negotiations. We do not have the luxury to delay this process anymore. As we will soon enter the 10th round of intergovernmental renegotiations, let us remind ourselves that the world needs to see our determination to keep the UN relevant, involved, and resolute, able to address its problems and fulfill its hopes. I thank you, Madam Chair.
I thank the distinguished permanent representative of Cyprus, and I now give the floor to the distinguished deputy permanent representative of Mexico.
Señora.
Madam President, I thank you for having convened this debate. My delegation associates itself with the statement made by the representative of Italy on behalf of the UFC. We also would like to join others in thanking the People's Republic of China for having submitted the annual report of the Security Council to the General Assembly. We thank the United States of America for having prepared the introduction to that. Madam President, Security Council reform is a process that can only be guided by the totality of the member states of the General Assembly, and not merely by just a few. It is also an urgent process. Council inaction during more than 2 years facing the crisis in Syria is the most recent example of the paralysis that often keeps the Council from responding in a timely and effective manner. This must be corrected. Mexico recognizes the recent initiative and appreciates the recent initiative of France to limit the use of veto, particularly in situations where there have been war crimes, crimes against humanity, or genocide. We believe that it would be a step in the right direction. And this would also be a testament to the commitment of the five permanent members to the primary responsibility of the Council in maintaining international peace and security. Mexico is fully willing to work with all of those interested parties in this proposal in order to find a manner to implement this idea. Madam President, Mexico reiterates its commitment to continue to work on an exhaustive, transparent, equitable reform process without artificial deadlines. We should not fall into the mirage that the agreement is only tied to the fact that the 70th anniversary of the organization is on the horizon. It could be a good goal if there is the political will of all of the states to reach a compromise. But let us not forget what happened at the 60th anniversary. Temporary celebrations are not always accompanied by magic solutions that are not backed by broad and solid agreements. While there is a lack of flexibility and a lack of political will on some parts that privileges just some, there will not be possible reform. Let's focus on the substance and not on the calendar. The final result of our process of negotiations must be a Security Council that is more representative of the entirety of the member states. It must be more effective and transparent. It must provide greater opportunities for those countries that wish to serve more frequently and over more time in the Council, as well as those who have never been members. Mexico hopes that the recent ratification or nomination of Ambassador Tanin as a facilitator of the IGN translates into substantive progress to facilitate a process that is not based on partial stances that are conducive to interpreting the positions of some member states over others. This should be a comprehensive process that bears in mind the five key aspects of Decision 62/557. It must have realistic, viable, and comprehensive proposals. The reform formula with a broadening of permanent memberships that is supported by some in the Council brings a worsening of the intrinsic inequity in the current Council to the detriment of objectives of greater representation, transparency, and accountability to the General Assembly. Mexico and MUC do not seek to impose their vision on the rest of the membership, but rather we seek a compromise solution with which the greatest number of member states possible could identify. As Latin Americans, we perfectly understand the aspirations of the African group to equitable representation that allows them to undertake the role that is incumbent upon them in the Council. In particular, we recognize and support their call for equal rights in order to solve the historic deficit of representation in the Council for that continent. We look at their legitimate claim as an expression of strength that is granted upon them by unity and consensus, as opposed to an individual aspiration to power and privilege. We reiterate our willingness to continue to work with Africa in promoting those formulas that would bring equitable representation for all regional groups. Madam President, as the rest of the MUC group, we take note of the letter of 22 October, by which the member states are informed that a group of advisors has been created for the reform of the Security Council with the goal of producing a foundation for intergovernmental negotiations. However, we believe that this is not a representative body for the vast majority of the organization's membership. Mexico reiterates its appreciation and full respect for the members of the advisory group. However, we reiterate that the only forum with legitimacy in decision-making on Council reform is the IGN in the General Assembly. Here we do not need anyone to interpret what our wishes are. We appreciate the assurances that Ambassador Ash conveyed to the members of the MUC this week regarding the mandate objectives of the group of advisors. The fact that the group will not draft any official document and will not have negotiation capacity and will not streamline proposals on reform that have been circulating for numerous years and will not prepare any draft resolution does encourage us. However, as we have been able to see throughout this debate, there are still contradictory interpretations that have been fostered by some members of the group regarding the mandate of the same. We trust the word of the PGA, and we believe that his commitment will prevail over national positions expressed by some of the members of his group of advisors. Mexico will not support any working document that is issued from this group unless that document is fully supported by all member states, and thus ensuring impartiality, including in the different stances of the different member states. Nationally, and also as a member of the UFC group, previously referred to as MUC by the interpreter, the UFC group, Mexico will maintain constructive participation in the framework of the upcoming sessions for negotiations with openness and transparency.
I now give the floor to His Excellency Ambassador Álvaro José Moura, the permanent representative of Portugal.
Madam President, I would like to commend the President of the General Assembly for having convened this meeting today and launching the intergovernmental process on this important subject at an early stage of this session. I would also like to welcome the reappointment of Ambassador Zahir Tanin as Chair of the Intergovernmental Negotiations. The question we have here today is on the equitable representation, but ultimately also of efficacy of an organ, Security Council, which acts pursuant to the UN Charter on behalf of us all in the maintenance of international peace and security. To exercise such responsibility and address the challenges the world faces today, we need a strong and effective Security Council. And the strong and effective Security Council is one that reflects in its composition the geopolitical realities and emerging regional powers in the 21st century. The original structure of the Security Council has not changed, with permanent and non-permanent members. Could it be different? Hardly. As this structure results directly from the UN Charter that we all have ratified, which entrusts the permanent members with a specific guardian role as it concerns any modification of its provisions. Any reform of the Council cannot thus avoid this. The need for ratification of any Charter modification by the permanent members leads us to the pragmatic conclusion that both categories of permanent and non-permanent members are here to stay. Under this assumption, the only way to make this organ more representative, in our view, is to increase its membership in both categories. Moreover, to find the right balance in the representation of the Council as a whole, we have to look into the composition of each category. Give all regional groups due participation in the permanent category, which is still not the case, and ensure a more ample participation and representation in the non-permanent category. In the 60s, the General Assembly opted to increase the membership only in the category of non-permanent members. We were then 115 members. But 5 decades later, with 193 members, we can no longer accept increasing again its seats in one category only of members, unbalancing even further the existent correlation. We should aim at an increased membership in both categories if we want to achieve equitable representation in the Council as a whole. Secondly, when addressing such enlargement, one should be cautious in order to maintain an appropriate balance and equitable representation in the non-permanent category. For medium and small states, which I note are the vast majority in the UN, this is of crucial importance. Any proposal which would reserve a number of these seats to certain states for long-term mandates would hinder substantially the access of many of those other states to serve in the Council. And that is something we are not inclined to accept. To create a new category of seats would aggravate the already existing division among permanent and non-permanent members by including an intermediate category of semi-permanent members. This would not serve, in our view, the wider membership, nor help the Security Council in its work, resulting, in fact, in a less representative and effective body. Thirdly, the notion of permanent members is tightly linked with the very notion of stability. This is as inherent to the category of permanent members as rotation is to non-permanent seats, which should allow for as many states as possible the opportunity, if they so wish, to serve in the Council. Fourthly, proposals to increase the membership in both categories have been gathering more support among delegations. While differences still exist among them, increasing convergence on this issue has been identified in the course of the recent round of intergovernmental negotiations in several proposals that are on the table, including the African position. Let us then move forward and build on this convergence. This should not prevent us to focus, when the time comes, on what we still diverge and to continue our efforts to build in the future an even larger common ground. In conclusion, Madam Chairman, the reform of the Security Council cannot be delayed time and time again. As recently stated by my country at the general debate, it is increasingly difficult to justify why countries such as Brazil or India are not permanent members of the Council. Moreover, we are of the strong view that Africa absolutely deserves permanent representation in the Security Council. Africa must be treated with justice and in a way reflecting its size, its economic growth, and its weight in today's world. Madam Chairman, we should avoid engaging into repetitive exercises which end up feeding in our divergences. We should rather narrow our focus on what can unite us, build a larger common ground, and make further efforts towards the consensus possible. In this respect, we see merit in centering our future intergovernmental negotiations on a suitable basis that may help us focus on the main elements of the reform and narrow to the extent possible the different positions on the table. We commend once again the President of the General Assembly for opening this path of negotiations to us and for committing his leadership to the intergovernmental process of the Council's reform. On our part, we are ready to engage actively and constructively in such process. I thank you, Madam.
I thank the distinguished permanent representative of Portugal, and I now give the floor to His Excellency Ambassador Jim McClay, permanent representative of New Zealand to the United Nations.
Thank you, Madam President. New Zealand commends the President for taking up the challenge of Security Council reform, the need for which was again strongly emphasised by many statements from our leaders in the general debate earlier this session. There's little doubt that structures designed in a 1945 post-war world for an intergovernmental organisation of just 51 members are no longer best suited to today's 193-member body. And that's particularly so with the Security Council, whose membership has been expanded only once in the last 68 years, and that nearly 50 years ago, when, as Portugal has just pointed out, the membership of this assembly numbered just over 100, little more than half its present membership. For whatever reasons, back in 1945, some very influential states were left out of those original power-sharing arrangements. They and those whose power has emerged in the ensuing years understandably now chafe at being excluded from the inner circle of this organisation's most powerful body. We also share the view of many smaller states that the current number of non-permanent seats and the associated geographic groups no longer ensure either fairness in representation or opportunity for election. There are, Madam President, too many faces pressed against the window. Change is needed. However, the past two decades of debate have shown that there is no obvious or easy solution to rectifying the democratic deficit that's inherent in the Council's current composition, and the lack of progress inevitably raises serious questions as to whether this organisation is likely in the foreseeable future to agree any fundamental structural reform of the UN Security Council. In New Zealand's view, that democratic deficit will not be fixed simply by adding another group of permanent members, even if that might be desirable, or by extending veto rights. Nor will the deficit be fixed by insisting on the status quo, despite the deep misgivings of some members regarding any expansion in the category of permanent members. New Zealand believes we will only make progress if we are willing to explore and even to test solutions that advance the interests of the wider membership and not just a few. That is why New Zealand has expressed support for an intermediate solution which would allow the Assembly's more powerful members the prospect of Security Council membership for longer periods, including the possibility of immediate re-election, and which would also expand the number of seats which are held for two-year terms, thus ensuring that smaller states won't be shut out of the Council. While we're certainly willing to consider other ideas, we believe that an intermediate solution of this nature is more likely to secure the support of two-thirds of the membership in a vote of this General Assembly, and also to achieve ratification by the same majority, a key charter requirement that is sometimes overlooked by those who seek to tally votes in support of their respective positions. Madam President, this debate is focused primarily on the size, categories of membership, regional representation, and working methods and the use of the veto in an enlarged and reformed Security Council. We've got to remember, however, that those issues are only part of the bigger question of overall Security Council reform. Equally important is the question of improving the current Council's working methods. And, Madam President, that is change which should be achievable even in the shorter term. We see this as an issue separate from structural reform. As my Prime Minister said when addressing this Assembly in September, the problems of the United Nations Security Council are systemic and relate both to the issue of its composition and to the Council's formal and informal processes. Considerations of efficiency and realpolitik do not justify denying elected members an effective voice in Council decision-making. And for that reason, we urge the permanent members to take a hard look at the way they conduct their business. They could do much to assuage concerns about the legitimacy of council decisions if they were more open and responsive to the views of the wider membership, and if they treated the elected members of the council, whose votes are needed for all formal council decisions, treated them more as partners. In that regard, Madam President, we particularly welcome the suggestion from France that there be a voluntary restriction or code of conduct on the use of the veto. Madam President, we look forward to exploring these and other issues in the negotiations we are to conduct, and we wish the President every success in that endeavour.
I thank the distinguished permanent representative of New Zealand for his remarks, and now I give the floor to His Excellency Ambassador David Donoghue, the permanent representative of Ireland to the United Nations.
Madam President, I would like to begin by thanking Ambassador Liu Jieyi, Permanent Representative of China and President of the Security Council for the month of November, for presenting the annual report of the Security Council. Ireland warmly welcomes the initiative which the President of the General Assembly has taken to reinvigorate the search for a fair and effective solution to the question of equitable representation on and increase in the membership of the Security Council. We have confidence in the advisory group which has been appointed, and we look forward to the fruits of the work they are undertaking to identify options and a basis on which the intergovernmental negotiations can be resumed. Everyone recognises, and has recognised for years, that the Security Council needs thorough overhauling. Its composition is seriously out of step with the geopolitical realities of today's world. We need a Security Council which is more representative, more inclusive, more effective, more transparent, and more accountable in its actions. We also need to find ways through the logjams which its own procedures can create. The veto rights conferred on its five permanent members can on occasion lead to paralysis, compromising the Council's ability to respond effectively to the great global challenges which fall within its remit. There are many deficiencies in the Security Council's structure and procedures which need to be addressed. And for as long as we fail to agree a programme of significant reform, we are perpetuating a deeply unsatisfactory state of affairs. At a time when global and regional challenges are proliferating and its agendas rapidly expanding, the Council's weaknesses are all too apparent and its authority and credibility are suffering. We must make a concerted effort to move the negotiations on reform of the Council into a more concrete and operational phase. It is time to concentrate minds around a concise basis on which we can move towards the decisions which are now urgently needed. It is also important that we set ourselves a clear time frame for this work. A high-level political meeting which would take key decisions is something we should aim for during this General Assembly session. For all these reasons, Ireland strongly supports the timely initiative taken by the President of the General Assembly. In our view, the five reform elements outlined in Decision 62/577 are interrelated parts of a single package. Success is contingent on agreement in all five areas. This, we believe, should create scope for compromise and make it easier rather than more difficult to reach overall agreement. How might the future Council be composed? We see substantial merit in the various models for reform which have been put forward to date. All grapple with the challenge of adjusting the composition so as to correct anomalies and problems of underrepresentation which are widely acknowledged. African underrepresentation is perhaps the most blatant injustice. There is, however, disagreement as to the best way forward. no single model as currently presented commands overwhelming support. It could be argued that the stalemate to which this has led is in fact undermining the very institution we are seeking to improve. My delegation believes that whichever reform model is chosen should be capable of attracting very extensive support across the membership. We need to get Security Council reform right. We must be certain that whatever new arrangements we make are overwhelmingly accepted if the aim of enhancing the Council's democratic legitimacy, restoring its authority and improving its effectiveness is to be achieved. This points towards compromise and exploration of the middle ground. We should be willing to look at alternative ways forward which would retain key elements of the main models on offer, but seek to build bridges between them. There is division over the question of additional permanent seats, with strongly argued positions on both sides. If we are to reach an agreement which will command the broadest possible support and therefore be solid and durable, imaginative approaches will be needed in addressing the claims to permanent membership which are made by a number of countries and regions. Ireland would also wish to see arrangements which do not diminish the opportunities for smaller states to serve on the Council at regular intervals. On another aspect of the debate, we believe that the veto rights conferred on the P5 are an anachronism in today's world. Ideally, we would wish to see them ended. If that cannot be achieved, we see great merit in the proposal by France that the P5 would voluntarily forego their veto rights when the Council is discussing mass atrocity crimes. We would hope indeed that the P5 could also agree to waive these rights when dealing with other issues such as flagrant human rights violations or breaches of international humanitarian law. In conclusion, a rebalanced Security Council, together with a modified approach to veto rights, would, in our view, enhance significantly the effectiveness of the Security Council and make it fit for purpose in the 21st century. Thank you, Madam President.
I thank the distinguished permanent representative of Ireland, and I now give the floor to His Excellency Ambassador Rodolfo Reyes Rodriguez, the permanent representative of Cuba to the United Nations.
Thank you very much, Madam President. We appreciate you having convened this debate, and we support the efforts aimed at launching negotiations on Security Council reform. We also thank the distinguished permanent representative of the People's Republic of China for having submitted the report on the work of the Security Council between 1 August 2012 and 31 July 2013. Cuba fully associates itself with a statement made by Egypt on behalf of the NAM. Madam President, the General Assembly has invested 20 years in discussing this matter. These years have been important and essential when it comes to putting forth the country positions and fostering a better understanding of the urgency of Security Council reform. It is difficult to sustain the status quo nearly seven decades after the founding of the United Nations, with the tremendous political, social, and economic evolution that we have seen in the history of humanity during this period, and in particular in the last 20 years. Cuba reiterates the need to launch true negotiations on Security Council reform. This would make this main organ of the United Nations a democratic, transparent and representative institution in which the 193 member states of the UN will feel fully represented, recognizing thus the full legitimacy in that set forth in Article 24 of the Charter, which confers upon the Council the responsibility of acting on behalf of all of the member states. The member states also must comply with the mandate established by the General Assembly through many resolutions that calls for the initiations of the IGN on Security Council reform. Previous rounds of discussions and the compilations that have been published on, or rather containing the proposals of the different delegations, confirmed that a clear majority of the member states support the following provisions, and I will just mention some. First, an enlargement of the council membership in both categories, permanent and non-permanent. Two, the need to eliminate the veto and immediately implement mechanisms that limit to the maximum degree possible the use of the veto. Three, reform, and a deep reform at that, of the working methods of the council so as to guarantee the operations of this body as a transparent, democratic, and representative organ. Four, the need for a balanced and efficient relationship between the Council and the General Assembly that is consistent with the provisions of the UN Charter. Madam President, Cuba is ready to undertake negotiations needed for this process without delay. We agree with the majority of delegations in that this must bear in mind all of the proposals put forth throughout the IGN. The positions of Cuba are more than well known, but I will allow myself the luxury of reiterating them for the new cycle of discussions and in step with the elements contained in the President's letter of 22 October 2013. Cuba does not favor the creation of new categories of members. This, instead of bringing about the best possible performance of the Council, would deepen the existing differences in opinion, and it would foster division within this body. The new members of an enlarged Council, whether permanent or non-permanent, should have exactly the same rights and duties as the current members of the Security Council, and this includes the veto. Cuba would not oppose the possibility of immediate re-election of non-permanent members. As regards the veto, the points of view of Cuba on this anti-democratic and anachronistic privilege are well known, as is our firm conviction that the veto must be eliminated. However, since it is not realistic to hope that this would be the case at this point in time, we believe that, as a first step, the use of veto should be limited to those actions that are adopted under Chapter 7 of the Charter. Cuba favors a broad increase in Security Council membership. An enlarged council should climb to 25 or 26 members. The enlargement should take place in both categories of members, and the bulk of the increase should be for developing countries based on the proposals put forth by the NAM. The goal cannot be that of enlarging merely to enlarge, but rather to give a response to the unjustifiable lack of representation of developing countries in the Council. Council reform should also include, necessarily, a reform of the working methods. We call for a transparent Security Council in which closed-door consultations will be the exception and not the rule. We aspire to a council that is seized of matters that are incumbent unto it and without invading other bodies. We want a council that very much truly bears in mind the opinions of the member states of the organization before taking decisions. A council that ensures a real level of access to the states that are not members of that body. To conclude, Madam President, I reiterate the opinion of Cuba in that council reform is a central element to the broader reform of the United Nations. We cannot speak of a true reform of the United Nations while there is not a true reform of the Security Council that ensures that it acts on behalf of the interests of all the member states that, according to the Charter, the Security Council must report. I thank you very much. I thank the permanent representative of Cuba, and I give the floor to His Excellency Mr. Rika Sakovic, the permanent representative of Poland.
Thank you, Madam President.
This year's general debate has proven that the issue of effective and responsive Security Council is one of the major concerns of the whole membership. President of Poland, Bronisław Komorowski, has voiced in his statement our strong support for bolstering the Council's authority, legitimacy and effectiveness. We believe that an adequate moment has come for breaking the deadlock in the process of reform. Poland perceives the enhancement of efficiency and transparency of the Council's work as well as its enlargement as the key issue of the complex Security Council reform. The reform should be built on the assumption that the membership not only grants privileges, but first and foremost, increases responsibilities. All Security Council members are entrusted with an extremely important duty to defend and secure the fundamental values inscribed in the UN Charter. The United Nations Security Council's reform is essential as the current composition of the Council and its working methods do not meet the challenges of the world today. Contribution of member states to the organization should be taken into account in case of modification of the Security Council's composition. In this regard, fulfillment of the financial obligation and participation in peacekeeping operations are of the utmost importance. The reform is essential, but it should be done without weakening efficiency of the Council. Also, the enlargement of the Council should ensure a balanced representation of all regional groups. In this context, Poland supports the reform that would grant an additional non-permanent seat for the Eastern European group due to its substantial enlargement in the recent decades from 9 to 23 countries. Madam President, we have always supported efforts to improve the working methods of the Security Council, aiming to make its actions more transparent. The Security Council should further enhance its cooperation with regional organizations, troop contributing countries, and UN Secretariat and the entire UN system. We support a more active engagement of non-member states and countries directly affected by conflict situations in the work of the Security Council. In particular, during the process of preparing resolutions, presidential statements, and press statements. The real improvement of the function of the Security Council should also include closer consultation with the civil society. We hope that the newly established ACT group, which promotes accountability, coherence, and transparency in the work of Security Council, will contribute significantly to the discussion of the working methods of the Council. Madam President, we take note of the recent decision of the President of the UN General Assembly, Ambassador John Ash, to establish his advisory group on the Security Council reform and to organize this year's debate on this issue earlier than usual. We believe that these steps might help to build a momentum for acceleration of the negotiations. However, while new attempts to revitalize the debate of the utmost importance, it is equally important to avoid harmful polarization of the positions. Thank you very much, Madam President.
Je remercie le représentant permanent.
I'd like to thank the permanent representative of Poland. Now I'd like to give the floor to the permanent representative of Romania.
Madam Vice President, as we are jointly debating two agenda items, I would like first to use this opportunity to thank the President of the Security Council, Ambassador Liu Jay, for presenting the Security Council annual report, as well as the United States for its introduction. I also thank the President of the General Assembly for convening this timely and very useful debate. Madam Vice President, allow me to put on record from the very beginning my delegation's support for the efforts of the President of the General Assembly aimed at relaunching the consultation process on the reform of the Security Council. We are very pleased with his decision to reappoint the permanent representative of Afghanistan, His Excellency Ambassador Zahir Tanin, as chairman of the intergovernmental negotiations, and we warmly congratulate him. This ensures the continuity and the necessary institutional memory of the work in progress. Furthermore, it is the recognition of and trust in the skills, dedication, patience, and impartiality that Ambassador Tanin has demonstrated during the last couple of years. Madam Vice President, we also value the initiative of the President of the General Assembly to establish an advisory group for facilitating the start of the intergovernmental negotiations during the current session. And we hope that the group will entirely cooperate with Ambassador Tanin so that the process could advance effectively. I avail myself of this opportunity to congratulate all the eminent colleagues involved in this new stage and assure them of my delegation's entire interest and readiness to contribute to the progress of work during the current session. We fully appreciate and value the extensive details the President of the General Assembly provided to us at the opening of our debate on the rationale and the exact mandate of this group. As we also aim at adopting concrete, feasible measures for the Security Council reform before the 2015 summit, we are in favor of accelerating the deliberations, including with the input received from the advisory group. Time has come to start negotiation on a concise draft text. Madam Vice President, we have already got a glimpse of what lies ahead of us for the next stage during the latest United Nations Security Council open debate on the methods of work. There was a wide recognition of the improvements, although they were considered by some speakers slow and tortured. Nevertheless, in terms of transparency and accountability, progress has materialized inter alia through open debates, briefings of the President for non-member states, wrap-up and horizon scanning sessions, or through the improved public access to information. Once all these have been launched, we need to keep them in order to become the rule, not the exception. We should be realistically ambitious. That is why, in our view, the five key issues under consideration should be approached independently at their own pace. Among them, the further improvement of the Security Council methods of work is definitely the less contentious one and continues to offer chances for further advance. In this respect, Romania pays particular interest to the concrete proposals launched during all this time, including the most recent ones introduced by the ACT group. In most of the national statements on the Security Council reform, in particular, and in those of the UN system more broadly, 2015 is the bottom line for achieving deliverables. Romania, of course, is also of the view that we are lagging far behind the commitments undertaken by our heads of states and governments at the 2005 World Summit towards making this unique body more broadly representative, efficient and transparent, and thus to further enhance its effectiveness and the legitimacy and implementation of its decisions. Therefore, we consider we have come at a juncture when and where time is critical for consensual and collective decisions. Madam Vice President, the President of the General Assembly has rightly anticipated that our current debates represent yet another opportunity for Member States to reiterate national positions on the Security Council reform. So please allow me to briefly restate Romania's main objectives in this process. We stand firmly for an increased representation of the Eastern European group, for providing for at least one additional non-permanent seat in the future architecture of the Security Council. We support an expansion of the Council within reasonable limits, up to 25 members in both permanent and non-permanent categories. We consider that an adjustment of the veto right should be based on the consensus of the current permanent members, taking into consideration the needs of the Council for faster action, greater involvement in conflict prevention, and increasing efficiency. We fully agree with the African, Asian, and Latin American proposals for better representation in the Security Council. At the same time, the President of the General Assembly invited us to use this opportunity to identify the directions in which the search for common ground might be undertaken. That is why I would like to indicate once more the strong preference of my country to enter a truly intergovernmental negotiating process based on a concise document. We are looking forward for the input of the advisory group, as well as for the November 15th meeting under the leadership of Ambassador Tanin. And Romania sincerely hopes we are entering a new stage of the process, characterized by inclusiveness, transparency, predictability, and stronger political will, a stage that will integrate all valuable ideas put forward so far, as well as those that will definitely continue to emerge. Thank you, Madam Vice President.
I'd like to thank the permanent representative of Romania, and now I'd like to give the floor to the representative of South Africa.
Madam Vice President, at the outset, we'd like to align ourselves with the statements delivered on behalf of the Africa Group as well as the L69. When the President of the Republic of South Africa, His Excellency Mr. Jacob Zuma, addressed the General Assembly on the 24th of September this year, he said the following about the reform of the Security Council, and I quote, "Allow me, Mr. President, to register again our serious concern that in close to 70 years after its establishment, the UN Security Council still remains undemocratic, unrepresentative, and unfair to developing nations and small states, and disenfranchises the majority of the member states of the United Nations, who form the majority of the General Assembly. We cannot remain beholden indefinitely to the will of the unrepresentative minority on most important issues of international peace and security. There has been too much talk about the need for reform with too little action. We'd like to challenge the Assembly today. Let us set ourselves the target to celebrate the 70th anniversary of the United Nations in 2015 with a reformed, more inclusive, democratic, and representative UN Security Council." Close quote. We are pleased that a number of member states are taking up this challenge and that more and more voices are joining in the call to achieve the reform of the Security Council in time for the 70th anniversary in 2015. The need for the reform of the Security Council has been made even more urgent by the Council's inability to effectively address current and continuing crisis situations and calls into question whether the Council, as it is currently constituted, is able to carry out its primary responsibility for the maintenance of international peace and security. Madam Vice President, indeed, there has been too much talk about the need for reform with too little action. We therefore welcome your commitment to prioritizing this matter during your term as the President of the General Assembly. We extend our full support to the efforts of the President of the General Assembly and his leadership to infuse a sense of urgency and much-needed momentum into the intergovernmental negotiating process. When you conveyed in your acceptance speech, when the PGA conveyed in his acceptance speech in July 4 this year, a pledge to advance the process of reform of all principal organs of the UN, we acknowledge this to be in pursuit of the commitment made at the 2005 World Summit. While the reform agenda covers the full spectrum of global governance, for the reasons mentioned, it has become necessary that the reform of the Security Council should be addressed as a priority. We applaud the leadership that the President of the General Assembly is taking on this important matter. South Africa views the reform of the Security Council as a key link in the restructuring of the UN to ensure that it is adequately capacitated to address current and future challenges that require our collective action through the multilateral system of governance. As mandated by our leaders at the 2005 World Summit, it is therefore imperative that we move with the same sense of resolve and urgency to reform the Security Council. Madam Vice President, we are all aware that over many years, the open-ended dialogue on Security Council reform has not produced much in terms of tangible outcomes. It is therefore incumbent on us, through the leadership of the PGA, to infuse the renewed vigor into the IGN process. It is high time that we progress to a text-based negotiations, which has been tried and tested tool in the UN as the means to get us there. A call for anything less, in our view, is to advocate for the UN to remain stuck in a bygone era whilst the challenges to maintain international peace and security outpace the UN's ability to respond effectively. We therefore support any initiative to move this stalled process to a concrete result, and we trust that the advisory group appointed by the PGA will rise to the task. Our preference is for a text-based negotiations to start on the 15th of November 2013. We see this as a realistic approach to add momentum to the process of reform in an inclusive and transparent manner. The draft text must reflect the aspirations of the overwhelming majority of the membership of the UN calling for early reform, which includes expansion in both existing permanent and non-permanent categories of the membership. Madam Vice President, we are fast approaching the year 2015, which will be the 70th anniversary of the UN, and which will also be culmination of a decade following the 2005 World Summit, when our heads of states and government mandated us to achieve early reforms of the Security Council. My delegation believes that it is within our reach to deliver a reformed Security Council in good time to celebrate that milestone occasion. The world has changed since 1945, and the membership of the UN has quadrupled since then. The only organ that has remained the same for the past seven decades is the UN Security Council, and it is untenable. It is an irony that those who consider themselves to be the leaders of the free world and bastion of democracies are themselves comfortable sitting in an undemocratic, archaic, and unrepresentative structure. Madam Vice President, the more we continue with the rhetoric and not get down to business of negotiating the actual reform, the status quo continues to favor those who were privileged by the post-World War II settlement. As Africans, we are not going to accept the view that we should maintain the status quo when 70% of the workload of the Security Council is on African issues. We would like to call on all progressive forces and like-minded countries to begin to consider producing a framework text covering all the agreed five areas. Such a framework text will draw inspiration from REF 3 document that the facilitator produced some months ago. Based on the statements that have been made since the beginning of IGN by member states and the observation of the facilitator a year and a half ago, it is clear that an overwhelming majority of the member states of the UN would like to see a comprehensive reform of the Security Council with an expansion in both categories. We would like to make one point clear, that the Charter is very unambiguous on the numbers required for the amendment of the Charter, and will therefore will not want to be drawn into a view that reform can only happen through a consensus. The reality is that those who are opposed to the call for the comprehensive review of reform of the Security Council know very well that they are in the minority and are on the wrong side of history. They continue to use all the tricks in the book to delay and frustrate the process with a view to paralyze it. Madam Vice President, in conclusion, South Africa believes that the time is now to engage in a text-based negotiation, and can only happen if all of us who would like to see an early reform can unite and support the facilitator, Ambassador Thani. The meeting of the 15th of November cannot be another debate and rhetoric, but should be about the text that should serve as a base for the negotiations. We by now know each other's position on the issue of reform. What we need now is packaging of all those positions in the same manner that the facilitator did when he produced REF 3. Failure to have the General Assembly adopt a framework resolution in 2015 risks rendering the UN Security Council becoming irrelevant, illegitimate, and unaccountable. Finally, we have noted that most of the member states support the legitimate claim of Africans for representation in the permanent category. However, we are concerned that such a claim of support is not translated into concrete actions of supporting early reform. The reality is that it is far-fetched to think that there will be a reform only for the benefit of Africa. Therefore, such an expression of support should be located within the broad context of a comprehensive reform. Otherwise, that support is meaningless. I thank you, Madam Vice President.
I'd like to thank the representative of South Africa. Now I give the floor to the representative of Serbia.
Madam Vice President, My delegation would like to thank the President for convening this plenary meeting to discuss one of the most important issues on the agenda of the United Nations and to express our appreciation to his commitment to drive the process forward. We would like to take this opportunity to congratulate the Permanent Representative of Afghanistan for his reappointment as the Chair of the Intergovernmental Negotiations on the Reform of the Security Council. Also, we would like to join the previous speakers in thanking China for presenting the Security Council's annual report to the General Assembly and the United States for preparing its introduction. Madam Vice President, at the outset, I would like to point out that the Republic of Serbia is firmly committed to multilateralism in international relations and is a strong believer in the most important and irreplaceable role of the United Nations in safeguarding international peace and security and in promoting the universal democratic values, human rights, and development. My country is a strong advocate of the reform and revitalization of the United Nations system and its adjustment to the newly created circumstances in order to streamline the system and make it reflect the political and economic relations of the 21st century much more realistically. The driving force behind this process was provided and its political framework was set up by the world leaders at the 2005 World Summit. In its outcome document, it is said that the early reform of the Council is, quote, an essential element of our overall efforts to reform the United Nations in order to make it more broadly representative, efficient, and transparent, and to thus further enhance its effectiveness and the legitimacy and implementation of its decisions, end of quote. Bearing that in mind, let me recall that more than 5 years ago, the current negotiating process was established by Decision 62557, which was adopted in the General Assembly by consensus. It has since provided member states with a platform for discussing the future of the Security Council. Meanwhile, the rapidity of the changes taking place outside these walls is increasingly outpacing the tempo of reforms that we are able to agree upon. It is therefore important to speed up the current process of the intergovernmental negotiations during these sessions in accordance with General Assembly's oral decision 67/561 of 29 August of this year. In order to accelerate it, we must invest our best efforts to find a compromise solution and establish a joint platform which would be acceptable to the majority of our organization. In future negotiations, we should proceed from the fact that the membership is united in a conviction that Security Council reform is necessary, in line with the conclusions of the 2005 World Summit. Additional efforts should be made to overcome the existing differences and ensure an even greater convergence on the issue of all aspects of the reform, as well as on all available models and proposals of the member states. We believe that the sensitive and complex nature of the issue should not deter us from working hard with mutual respect and in an open, inclusive, and transparent manner. In that context, the Republic of Serbia will support every country working towards the reform that should realistically reflect the situation at the global level. Madam Vice President, we are of the opinion that the enlargement of the Security Council should be based on the broadest possible consensus of the United Nations member states and ensure, at the same time, proper representation of the United Nations member states' regional groups in this organ. In that context, we would appreciate if the possibility of creating yet another seat for the Eastern European group was to be seriously discussed during the next stage of Security Council reform negotiations, in view of the fact that the number of countries in that region has increased. It should be pointed out that maintaining the trust and confidence of the entire membership is essential for the process to continue in a constructive manner. Success in and taking into account the interests of all member states of our organization in a comprehensive reform which will encompass the five key issues defined in Decision 62/557 will require greater flexibility, mutual understanding, and the political daring to reach a compromise. Madam Vice President, in conclusion, I wish to reiterate our hope that we shall find the courage and wisdom to take this negotiation to the next stage in the period ahead. This would further reinforce the General Assembly's status as a center for harmonizing the actions of nations and advance in that way the efforts of generations to entrench peace, security, and prosperity across the globe. The Republic of Serbia will continue to engage constructively and cooperate closely with other member states in advancing the main objectives of United Nations Security Council reform. Thank you, Madam Vice President.
I'd like to thank the representative of Serbia. Now I give the floor to the chargé d'affaires of Bhutan.
Madam Vice President, Excellencies, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen. My delegation is pleased to participate in the discussion under the important agenda item entitled Question of Equitable Representation on an Increase in the Membership of the Security Council and Related Matters. In doing so, my delegation fully associates itself with the views expressed by the distinguished permanent representative of St. Kitts and Nevis on behalf of L69. Madam Vice President, my delegation is pleased to note that a matter of great urgency is receiving the requisite attention under the PGA's able leadership. In this connection, we welcome the reappointment of Ambassador Tannen as the chair of the intergovernmental negotiations. My delegation would like to wish him every success in taking the process forward and assure him of our full cooperation. The IGN, under the chairmanship of Ambassador Tannen, has made commendable progress, and it is now imperative that the process moves forward on the basis of text-based negotiations. Towards this end, we welcome the timely initiative of the President of the General Assembly of convening an advisory group to assist the PGA and provide inputs to facilitate the work of the IGN without further delay. If the advisory group is to begin its work on an auspicious track, it must include in its draft the desire of the overwhelming majority of the UN member states for an early reform, which inter alia includes expansion of members in both permanent and non-permanent categories. The reform of the Security Council is compelling and has been called for by world leaders and distinguished representatives of almost every nation, both outside and in this hall, testimony of the unanimous conviction of the overwhelming majority of member states that it is high time for change. By now, the positions of each group, perhaps even every member state, have been well articulated during the last 8 rounds of the IGN. Reform efforts must be expedited, taking into account the most accommodative, inclusive, and judicious of these views, if the United Nations is to adapt to the transformed realities and continue to retain its relevance and credibility. Madam Vice President, the United Nations will be 70 years in 2015. We will also be marking the end of a decade since the heads of state and government mandated us to achieve early reform of the Security Council at the 2005 World Summit. Surely we cannot and must not fail to deliver concrete outcomes for such a historic timeline. And before concluding, may I also join the other delegations in placing on record our appreciation to His Excellency, the Permanent Representative of China, for the comprehensive report of the work of the Security Council over the last year, and to the delegation of the United States for the introduction of the annual report. I thank you, Antashidele.
I'd like to thank the Chargé d'Affaires of Bhutan, and now I give the floor to the representative of the Solomon Islands.
Madam President, let me thank you for convening this plenary session on Agenda Item 123 on Security Council Reform. Solomon Islands would like to align this statement with a statement issued by St. Kitts and Nevis on behalf of the L69 Group and a statement to be issued by Papua New Guinea on behalf of PSIDS. Reform of the Council remains an essential and integral element of our overall effort to reform our multilateral system. It has, however, eluded us for the last 15 years in the open-ended working group before entering the intergovernmental negotiations for the last five years. Wealth of ideas have been collated over the years. It is in this connection Solomon Islands register its appreciation to the President of the General Assembly for taking a fresh look at what we are in and where we are in the negotiations. My delegation share the appreciation of those who spoke before me and welcome the reappointment of His Excellency Ambassador Tannen to manage our intergovernmental negotiations process. He has been with us from the beginning. Once again, and as always, my delegation takes this opportunity to assure our chair, Ambassador Tannen, of Solomon Islands' support and cooperation going forward. Madam President, the work of the intergovernmental negotiation process is guided by the Charter, the World Summit Outcome Document, relevant rules and procedures, and past practice. General Assembly Decision 62/557 identifies the five key negotiable elements. We certainly have a document that compiles all our positions together and now needs to be streamlined for it to be a negotiable text. My delegation would like to acknowledge your hands-on approach for initiating the establishment of an advisory group of eminent ambassadors to assist your office. This initiative will breathe life into our stale IGN process. We congratulate the eminent ambassadors on their appointment and look forward to working with them. We would like them to produce a streamlined negotiation text based on submissions made by the membership. Once this is done, it will bring all our thoughts together in a single text that allows us to take collective action on negotiable elements that already enjoy general consensus. Output of their work remains state-driven and should feed into the resume IGN, and we are clear that we are not creating another negotiations track. Madam President, we live and operate in a fast-changing world. Already we have seen deep integration within some regions of our organization that have already developed common foreign policy. This needs to be taken into consideration in any reform outcome. We must also avoid coming into the negotiation with conditions that put the negotiations process in a straitjacket. We call on everyone to come to the table with a vision to strengthen the Council's role in the maintenance of the international peace and security and ensure structural change in the Council happens. Madam President, I will not go through Solomon Islands' position on the five Security Council reform elements, as this has been stated and restated over the years. These are the question of the veto, regional representation, size of an enlarged Council, relationship between the Council and the General Assembly, and the working methods. Of the five negotiable elements, we see improving the working methods of the Security Council as the low-hanging fruit that does not warrant changes to our charter and already has the widest possible support of everyone. I will be bold to say here that the President may wish to look at drafting a resolution on improving working methods of the Security Council. It addresses the legitimacy, inclusiveness, representativity and transparency of the Council. We can build on work already done by the S5. We acknowledge the work done by the Council itself on improving the working method. The Council's effort complements the work to be done by the General Assembly. Madam President, on the question of veto, we'd like to see this abolished, but in the event it is retained, the rights and privileges of the veto be accorded to all new members. This is to ensure everyone on the permanent seat is on equal footing. The use of the veto is also linked to an improved working methods which provides for limitation of the use of the veto. On enlargement of the permanent and non-permanent seats, Solomon Islands supports enlargement in both permanent and non-permanent seats category. We would also like to see a seat in the non-permanent seat category. On the regional question, equitable geographical representation for the permanent seat, special attention be to regions that are not represented or regions that are underrepresented. On the relationship between the General Assembly and the Security Council, we'd like to see this improved. My delegation acknowledges the Council's annual report to the General Assembly strengthens the two principal organs' relationship. We thank China for its presentation of the report yesterday. Madam President, finally, I close by stating we need a reformed Security Council to match the 21st century realities. Solomon Islands, like all Pacific seats, stand ready to engage in reforming our Council. We hope to see progress in the negotiation done in good faith, with mutual respect, and in an open, inclusive, and transparent manner. Thank you, Madam President.
I'd like to thank the representative of the Solomon Islands, and now I give the floor to the representative of Australia.
Madam Vice President, firstly, let me thank you for presiding over this joint debate on the Security Council annual report and on Security Council reform, the subject of which Australia is a long-standing advocate. Australia welcomes the introduction of the Security Council annual report made by the Permanent Representative of China, Ambassador Liu Zhaoyi, in his capacity as President of the Council for this month. We also thank the United States delegation, along with other Council members, for their work on the report. We look forward to a more substantive discussion in the General Assembly on the annual report later this month. Madam Vice President, substantive reform of the Security Council is long overdue. It is therefore imperative that we achieve progress in the intergovernmental negotiations on Security Council reform during this, the 68th session of the General Assembly. Indeed, the priority that the President of the General Assembly has attached to this issue during his presidency is welcome and significant. We commend his reappointment of Afghanistan's Ambassador Tanin as Chair of the Intergovernmental Negotiations. Having led the General Assembly's work on this issue consistently since 2008, Ambassador Tanin's reappointment will be an important element in maintaining continuity, focus, and an appreciation of the complexities of the issues under discussion. We also welcome the appointment by the President of the General Assembly of a new advisory group on Security Council reform, comprised of the permanent representatives of Belgium, Brazil, Liechtenstein, Papua New Guinea, San Marino, and Sierra Leone. We have full confidence in the substantial intellectual contribution and integrity of these individuals and this group. Given the need for a strong Council with the capacity to tackle today's international peace and security challenges, we support this initiative. We have a rare opportunity to achieve lasting, successful reform, and we should seize it. We need to shift our mindset to move from posturing to practical, real negotiations. Madam Vice President, Australia has long supported an expansion of the Council's membership in both the permanent and non-permanent categories. This is important both to ensure a more equitable geographic balance and to enhance the Council's legitimacy. Both of these factors are important drivers of reform. As we have said before, all member states have a stake in the Council's decisions. The Council has universal responsibilities and engages in situations across regions, particularly in Africa, for which the case for permanent membership is clear and compelling. Madam Vice President, since joining the UN as a founding member, Australia has also argued strenuously for limits on the use of the veto and promoted transparency as integral to the Security Council's legitimacy. We remain strongly committed to these principles, particularly as an elected Security Council member for this year and next. And the growing complexity and breadth of the Council's agenda makes it all the more necessary for the Council to adapt to modern times. The key to effectiveness lies in a more representative, transparent, and legitimate Security Council. A major criticism of the Council is that in recent times, in the face of major humanitarian crises, it has failed to discharge its responsibility to maintain peace and security, a responsibility that it exercises on behalf of all member states. Much criticism is directed towards the impact of the use or the threat of use of the veto. Given the recent Syria experience, we believe France's proposal for permanent members to voluntarily renounce their veto powers in cases of mass atrocity crimes has merit and deserves further consideration. We should seriously discuss how to take this proposal forward. Madam Vice President, without prejudice to other aspects of Council reform, Australia supports early efforts to realise immediate and tangible benefits in the Council's working methods. As an elected member of the Council, we have seen firsthand the importance of and the need for greater transparency and accountability in the Council's work, including to enhance engagement with the broader UN membership, in particular troop and police contributing countries, those countries that are working to actually implement Council mandates on the ground, as well as key organs of the UN such as the Peace Building Commission and regional and sub-regional organisations. As we said during the Security Council open debate on working methods on the 29th of October, the Accountability, Coherence and Transparency, or ACT, group, established in May this year, has greatly informed our own work as a Council member, and we value our collaboration with the members of this group. Security Council Presidential Notes 515 and 630, adopted this year, represent important steps towards enhancing the Council's engagement with the wider membership, including troop and police contributing countries. Madam Vice President, as the President of the General Assembly has said, member states must now consider how to reinvigorate their efforts to find common ground on this issue. This today and yesterday has been a useful discussion, but now let's try and make some substantive progress. We look forward to hearing the ideas of the membership, as well as the ideas of the advisory group on how to take this issue forward. It will require flexibility, cooperation, creative solutions, and above all else, some political will. But we must make progress to strengthen and modernise the Council. The challenges that faces it and that face all of us are great and growing, and we need to recraft a body that will meet them. Thank you, Madam Vice President.
I'd like to thank the representative of Australia. Now I give the floor to the representative of Mauritius.
Madam President, Mauritius aligns itself with a statement delivered by the Permanent Representative of St. Kitts and Nevis on behalf of the L69 Group on Security Council reforms. Madam President, the debate over Security Council reforms has endured for far too long. World leaders at the Millennium Summit resolved to intensify efforts to achieve a comprehensive reform of the Security Council in all its aspects. At the 2005 World Summit, our leaders supported the early reform of the Security Council as an essential element of the overall reform of the United Nations in order to make the Council more broadly representative, efficient, and transparent, and thus further enhance its effectiveness, legitimacy, and implementation of its decisions. Mauritius is convinced of the need for a comprehensive reform of the United Nations that upholds the principles and objectives and ideals of the UN Charter. We believe that the reform should promote greater equity and take into consideration major political and economic changes that the world has witnessed since the inception of our organization. Mauritius also considers that the time has come for text-based negotiations to take place within the intergovernmental process. We welcome the reappointment of His Excellency Mr. Zahir Tanin, Permanent Representative of Afghanistan, as Chair of the Intergovernmental Negotiations and wish him success in steering the process forward. We also support the initiative of the PGA to appoint an advisory group to assist him in this important process during the 68th session of the General Assembly. Madam President, Mauritius supports the L69 proposal because we believe it is consistent with the African Common Position as embodied in the Isle-Wini Consensus and the CERTA Declaration. We believe in Africa's rightful aspiration for enhanced representation in the Security Council in both the permanent and non-permanent categories. And we also subscribe to the view that as long as permanent members of the Security Council have the right of veto, then the new members of a reformed Security Council should also have the right of veto. We also fully support the proposal that expansion of the Security Council should also include one non-permanent seat for small island developing states. Madam President, after debates spanning over two decades, the international community should start real and meaningful negotiations on the Security Council reforms. Mauritius believes that the celebration of the 70th anniversary of the United Nations in the year 2015 will be an important turning point at which we should be able to deliver concrete outcomes on this most pressing subject. Madam President, we hope that this session of the General Assembly under your able leadership will generate the necessary political will and collective effort for taking the process forward. Merci, Madame la Présidente.
Thank you, Madam President. I thank the representative of Mauritius, and I now give the floor to His Excellency Mr. Jaamo Viinanen, the permanent representative of Finland.
Madam Vice President, allow me to commend His Excellency John Ash, the President of the General Assembly, for convening this session on the question of equitable representation of the United Nations Security Council. We appreciate the PGA for his commitment to achieving progress on this important topic. We firmly believe that under the President's able leadership, it is possible to move forward and achieve concrete results in this protracted process. The Security Council is the principal organ of the United Nations with primary responsibility for maintenance of international peace and security. Many factors determine the effectiveness of the Security Council and the authority it carries in the international community. Most important is the quality of the decisions and the political and practical ability to carry out them. We are concerned that the Security Council's ability to take necessary decisions is too often compromised due to permanent members' veto rights. The Security Council must show that atrocity crimes are not tolerated by the international community. We join others in asking that the permanent members of the Council to refrain from the use of veto in such cases. Madam Vice President, I think that we all agree that the reform of the Security Council is crucial. The composition and the working methods play a key role in the reform. Transparency, openness, and inclusiveness are all relevant concepts when improving the functioning of the Security Council. We are proud to be members of the ACT Group, which purpose is to develop and improve the working methods of the Council. The composition of the future Security Council is, of course, the main issue. Efforts to improve the working methods are not a substitute for increasing the representativeness of the Council. In view of the realities of today's world, enlargement of the Security Council is necessary in both permanent and non-permanent categories, but without extending the veto right. The Security Council needs large and small countries. Even the smallest countries can make a valuable contribution to the work of the Council in benefit of international peace and security. However, size is not everything. We need better geographic representation. The underrepresentation of Africa is a key issue to be addressed and resolved in the reform process. Finally, let me underline that Finland wholeheartedly supports the Security Council reform. We hope that all members of the United Nations would have an open mind and be ready to discuss new ideas. This process can succeed only if we focus on the possible solutions, not on the disagreements. Finland remains committed to engaging actively and constructively to advance the reform. We look forward to making tangible progress under the guidance of the President of the General Assembly. Thank you very much, Madam Vice President.
I thank the Permanent Representative of Finland, and I now give the floor to His Excellency Mr. Courtney Rattray, the Permanent Representative of Jamaica.
Madam Vice President, Jamaica associates itself with the statements made by the Permanent Representative of St. Kitts and Nevis, representing the L69 group, as well as that of the Permanent Representative of Guyana on behalf of CARICOM, on the question of equitable representation on and increase in the membership of the Security Council and related matters. I also join with others in thanking China for presenting the annual report of the Security Council. The reform of the Security Council, one of the most powerful organs of the United Nations, is an issue that has long been on the agenda of this noble institution. The Council's primary responsibility for the maintenance of international peace and security makes it necessary to ensure that it reflects contemporary realities and that there is greater inclusiveness, transparency, accountability, and effectiveness for an improvement of its legitimacy and its overall performance. When Jamaica became a member of the United Nations in 1962, we witnessed a steady growth thereafter of membership to the organization following the independence of many former colonies. With the rapid influx of new members came loud calls in 1963 for a rearrangement of the composition of the Security Council. Jamaica was at the vanguard of this initiative, which heralded an expansion in the number of non-permanent seats from 6 to 10. Since then, we have had the privilege of serving twice on the Security Council. Having done so, we have experienced firsthand the complexities of the Council and its inner workings, as well as the need for its restructuring to safeguard its legitimacy and enhance its credibility. Jamaica therefore lifts its voice to support the continuation of negotiations on the Security Council reform and underscores the urgent need to move the intergovernmental negotiations process forward. In that vein, we welcome today's debate and applaud the President of the General Assembly for his reappointment of Ambassador Tanin, Permanent Representative of Afghanistan, as Chair of the IGN process on Security Council reform. We likewise welcome the establishment of the Advisory Group to facilitate the continuation of the negotiations process and note its composition of member states from a wide cross-section representing different positions. Such developments have provided us with a new opportunity to move the process forward on the basis of a text-based negotiations. Madam Vice President, we therefore reiterate our continued support for an expansion in both the permanent and non-permanent categories of membership of the Security Council. We believe that the new permanent members should include countries from Africa, Asia, and Latin America, and the new non-permanent members should be from Asia, East Europe, Latin America, and the Caribbean, as well as from Africa. This is taking into account the need to ensure representation from developing countries, including small island developing states, whose participation should be on the basis of the concept of rotating seats. Madam Vice President, as it relates to the working methods of the Council, we are supportive of the view that there should be an improvement in this and also in the relationship between the Security Council and the General Assembly. In closing, Madam Vice President, Jamaica remains convinced that Security Council reform is an important element in ensuring effective global governance. The United Nations must not only be a forum for discussion on global issues, but must demonstrate leadership and be an example of this. Failure to achieve concrete outcomes on this most pressing subject would be tantamount to failure. A failure to build and sustain peace for a safer world for this and future generations. I thank you.
I thank the permanent representative of Jamaica. We have heard from the last speaker to address this meeting. We will continue at 3 o'clock in this same room. This meeting is adjourned.